A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. It's a very chill Wednesday morning. I hope you wake up able and ready to face the toll and challenges of the day. And if you are on the road, make sure that you follow follow all the traffic rules so that you can protect the lives of other people and even of your own. Yeah. So very good morning to you. Welcome to Eagle FM and thanks for joining us this very Wednesday morning. My name is Mike Oshoveli and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day, the show where we dive deep into the stories, events and issues that shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news and understanding how it impacts our lives. Whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture or social issues, we are here to make sense of it all together. But it's not just about us talking, it's about you. Share your thoughts, opinions and perspectives on the topics that matter most to you. And this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. Very good morning to you if you're just joining us. And thanks for joining us. So our time now is 34 minutes past 7. And it's a Wednesday morning or the 14th. Of May. So what happened on this day in Africa? On this day in Africa, so on the 14th of May 1951, the South African government, you know, that apartheid government that time, so voted to remove colored citizen from the common voters' roll. Now, this action was part of the apartheid regime's effort to disenfranchise non-white populations and maintain white minority rule. Now, the move sparked a significant opposition, of course, including legal challenges and mass protest by the colored community, and who also formed the Franchise Action Council to fight for their voting rights. So, and also in South Africa, on the very same day in May the 14th, 1991, Winnie Mandela was sentenced to 6 years in prison for her involvement in the kidnapping and beating of the three black youths, which resulted in the death of one of them. So this was a significant event during the apartheid era, reflecting the intense political and social struggle in South Africa at the time. So, and May the 14th is observed as a National Unification Day in Liberia. So this public holiday commemorates efforts to promote unity and reconciliation among the Liberia's diverse ethnic and social groups, fostering national cohesion. And it is Kamuzu Day. Today is a Kamuzu Day. So in Malawi, May the 14th is celebrated as a Kamuzu Day, honoring the birthday of Hastings Kamuzu Banda, the country's first president. So the day recognizes his role in leading Malawi to independence and his contribution to the nation's early development. So, yeah, that's what we have for you, what happened on this day in Africa. So, and our thought of the day today, it's a quote from Desmond Tutu, which says, hope is being Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. That hope is being able to see that there is a light despite all the darkness. So the quote conveys a profound message about resilience and optimism. So it suggests that hope is not about ignoring challenges or pretending everything is fine. So instead, it's about recognizing difficulties and still believing in the possibility of better days ahead. So this perspective emphasizes that hope is an active choice to look for positivity and potential, even when circumstances seem, you know, bleak. So in essence, this quote serves as a reminder that hope is a powerful force, enabling people to persevere and work towards positive changes, regardless of the darkness they may face. So our thought of the day on Wednesday, May the 14th, the thought of the day, hope is being able to see that there is a light despite all of the darkness. And that's a quote from Desmond Tutu. Well, if you're just joining us, you are tuned in Unpacking the Day, and I'm Mike Oshoveli. I will be with you until the hour of 9:30. So stay tuned, because when we come back, we get into our first item on the show.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna iimatina omjo. Chikao shafathana nana nongeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisamwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa zetu. Moambo lengera selma konora heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o liyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
It's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Even a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not pick up my Katutura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katutura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we have been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Yes, be part of the debate by setting the agenda. Very good morning to you if you're just joining us here on Eagle FM. And the ECB has approved a 3.8 tariff hike for NamPower for the 2025-2026 financial year, an increase significantly lower than the 17.4% originally requested by the utility. While the ECB describes this as a balanced decision aimed at shielding customers from steep prices increases, it raises important question about the long-term sustainability of Namibia's energy infrastructure and the economy at large. From household already feeling the pinch of rising living costs to business navigating tight margins, and even the country's ambition plans for green hydrogen and renewable energies, this decision touches every corner of the economy. So is this minimal increase a well-calibrated move to protect consumers, or does it mask deep structural vulnerabilities within the energy sector? Today, I'm joined by Josiah Hanoshike, an economist and the director of Basecamp Incubator. Good morning, Josiah, and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mike. Thank you for having me.
Now, the 3.8% tariff hike is kept below the inflation rate of 4.2%, which suggests that this was an effort by the ECB to ensure that electricity price increases remain actually manageable for the consumers and the business. Now, despite being relatively modest, the tariff increase could still have the negative effect on the economy, isn't it?
Very true. Just as a point of correction, 4.2% was the inflation rate in March. I think yesterday's inflation rate for April came out. Now the year one, and it's been 3.6%, so slightly decreased.
Okay.
I think, and before that, inflation has been hovering between 3 to 3.5% there. So I think the ECB took that into consideration when they made this change, approval.
Mm.
And at the end of the day, I should guess, when one looks at how the Namibia Statistics Agency calculates inflation,
yeah,
they use a basket of goods, and I think about 350 items are included in that basket.
Mm.
And when we look at one category, where it includes water, electricity, and so it goes, and fuels, that is 28% of that weight. So you can see that electricity is a major contributor to inflation in the country.
Yeah.
So I think given that, that is now why they decided to perhaps give them that 3.8 increase, because if they were given that 17%, which NAMPA was asking,
yeah,
that unfortunately would have significantly increased inflation in the country, for the year.
Yeah. So NAMPA has been getting less than what they asked for what they have asked for in tariff over the past few years. Could this lead to bigger problems, like falling behind maybe on maintenance or project in the next years or next decade or something? Would that be the effect of this?
I think it's multi-layered. I think like you pointed out, this is a structural issue. On one hand, if one looks at NAMPOWER's financials, they actually have a lot of cash, because they're quite a very profitable entity. But as of late, they've not been profitable for a number of reasons. And I think it's mainly due to issues of collection of electricity.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they have many non-paying clients. So if you look, a lot of creditors or debtors, rather, people owe their money, and they're not able to collect for various reasons. Some of it is political, unfortunately, and other times it's because people are just not willing to pay. I think there was a story out, was it last year or year before, where the board wanted to take this on and try to force for the money to be paid, but unfortunately because of they couldn't get it right because it became a very political sensitive issue. So it is those issues perhaps that NAMPOWER should look into collecting the money that they owed, instead of trying to pass it on to the general consumer on the street, which will force up inflation at the end of the day.
Yeah. So the I'm also thinking in terms of how this actually impact on a small businesses. Yeah. So many small businesses are already struggling with the rising electricity costs. So what can be done really to help them manage without making maybe the system unfair to other users like the big companies?
Again, I think one way which NAMPOWER can increase the cash flow, I know it's not very popular, but unfortunately, collect on the debt book.
Yeah.
From my understanding, from a recent article I read, they are owed about 960 million Namibian dollars.
Mm.
And obviously, they need this money, again, talking for maintenance, to build infrastructure, you know, to increase our transmission capacity.
I mean,
it's from what I hear, one, it's not very, you know, we want to sell electricity into the Southern African power pool, but because of the infrastructure we have, it is not that easy. But that could be a low-hanging fruit for power producers in Namibia, especially renewable guys want to, renewable energy companies that want to sell into a power pool. But unfortunately, because of the lack of funding, which is being experienced by NAMPOWER, you know, even though they have significant cash reserves, but they want to hold on to those in case the situation continues and they continue eating into the existing cash reserves. So those, I think to answer the question, again, so it doesn't affect the business, the good clients of NAMPOWER that are paying month on month, the individuals that are paying month on month.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the only way they can remedy the situation is to go after those who are owing the money so they can recover those funds, and those funds can be then used to improve the electricity infrastructure and service delivery in the country.
So the NAMPOWER, maybe here, should the government, you know, maybe step in? NAMPOWER didn't get the full increase they wanted, maybe that creating a little bit of a shortfall. Should the government step in with the subsidies instead of using price control through ECB?
I'm not a fan of government stepping into commercial entities.
Yeah.
Commercial SOEs were supposed to be standing on their own two feet. I think government's role, in my opinion, when it comes to subsidizing society, should be for in areas which are social goods. Let's say we talk about health, talk about education, and so forth. Yes, that's where government should be stepping in. But if an entity like NAMPOWER, which should be profitable, on its own two feet, should they not be depending on government for bailout? They should, again, I believe they're owed even funds by some government entities and local authorities are not paying. Perhaps they should then, instead of government giving them funds, they should then take those particular institutions to whatever you know court or remedy they have to be able to recover their funds. And I think if they can do that, they'll be in a good position.
Yeah, the other things, the renewable energy goals also. Namibia has that big plan for green hydrogen and renewable energy, but we need a lot of money to make it happen. So can NAMPOWER keep up with these goals if their revenue is kept at a lower percentage increase?
I think this is where one can then start partnering up with private entities. I know for a fact there's a lot of renewable energy financiers that want to partner with NAMPOWER. All NAMPOWER has to give is, basically power purchase agreements, saying, look, if you produce electricity, we'll buy from you. If that is done, there is no shortage of capital to have that happen. So I think we should just open up that avenue and work with more, independent power producers who have the capital and are willing to basically invest in Namibia. Instead of them doing it, and then they can concentrate now on basically the energy transmission component of things. And I think that can definitely increase the amount of electricity available. And I'm sure even for their own projects they want to do, there are financiers, especially perhaps they can enter into PPPs, who will be happy to invest, alongside them. Given that Namibia is known as a country that has enjoys peace and stability on the political front.
Yeah. So the other thing, maybe you can also explain it, make our listener and myself understand this. You know, there is a significant portion of Namibia's electricity expenses that the exchange that comes into maybe
how would I put that? Like when you're purchasing, you know, electricity from international suppliers or investing in imported equipment, these are priced in US dollars, isn't it? So how can Namibia then keep tariffs stable when the exchange rate actually keeps changing?
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, unfortunately, we are not in control of our exchange rate. As you know, we are pegged to the rand, and it's issues that affect South Africa that unfortunately then would affect Namibia.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, given that, and I think the best, one of the ways, and but always the dangerous thing to do at times, given you don't know where the exchange rate will move to, is obviously to hedge, whatever transaction one does. So at least for a long time, you are able to maintain, that stability in the exchange rate. Or you can always just go ahead and buy US dollars and keep them in a foreign currency account at a bank and then use the US dollars to buy. I mean, those are alternatives that definitely can be used. But unfortunately, foreign currency, fluctuations are a tricky component of doing business internationally. And many of times one just has to live with it, because if you do, I guess you said, try to hedge today, you hedge at, let's say, $19, the US dollar. Tomorrow it moves to $16, but now you still have to now continue buying things at this rate. So that is the issues that one faces when he goes into that inside market. But as it may be, I guess one has to take that into account when one sets the tariffs. But there are measures that one can take to perhaps try to alleviate that particular risk.
Yeah. So the Namibia is still actually importing nearly half of its electricity. So which keeps getting more expensive. So does now limiting NamPower's revenue make it harder now to invest in local projects, maybe like the Kudu Gas initiative? Wouldn't that contribute to that as well?
To a certain extent, I would agree with that narrative. Mm. But again, I think, as I said earlier, NamPower doesn't do that by itself. There are financiers who are willing, at the current tariffs, to build these power stations and invest in Namibia as long as they are guaranteed an offtake, meaning that NamPower will give them a power purchase agreement to buy this electricity from them once it is being produced. So NamPower basically has to spend $0. Yes, and I guess NamPower will say no, but then will not get any, won't get much revenue from that, from that particular project.
Yeah.
But they can always add a bit of a margin as they sell on to the end user through the transmission system. So I think they should just be open-minded to this alternative. And so they know that they don't have to do everything by themselves, but they are local and international investors who are willing to do it with them.
Yeah. The other thing is the renewables and the private investment. So the current system, if I'm right, gives utility lower returns on the renewable projects than actually private investor expect. So how can the rules change to attract more private investment in the solar and wind?
Yeah, I think for my now in terms of the returns expectations right now for the power plants, I cannot 100% speak to that. But from my knowledge, I know there's a moratorium set, I think, by the ECB that they no longer want to issue licenses to independent power producers for renewable energy and such. Meaning that and that only probably comes from a place where there is more demand for these licenses, than what is the appetite is from the regulator, and such. So I do not think that is an issue, just from that knowledge. So I think the current price, there are those willing to enter the market, and I do believe honestly. If the right environment is set for investors.
Yeah.
We will be able to solve our power issue. We do not, yes, we'll probably be importing a bit from outside, but I think by and large, from various, you know, projects from renewable energy, solar, we're talking about hydropower, you know, we're talking about perhaps even gas, mm-hmm. who knows, even, you know, let's say nuclear. We are able to solve our own power issue.
Yeah.
It's just us being a bit more innovative and perhaps, you know, being willing to work a bit more with the private sector that, you know, apart from, you know, government, obviously they've done a lot, that I'm not downplaying them, but if they're just open-minded to working with the private sector, I think we're going to achieve that goal.
Yeah. Now, this tariff increase is not discriminatory. So when it comes to, you know, it's fair for now, when you want to now make this maybe fair for everyone. Now, electricity, even for a regular household, has really become much more expensive over the years. Could a subsidy system, I'm just thinking, could be a subsidy system be created now to help maybe the low income household without also putting all the cost on other users? Could that be possible? Could be that an option?
Definitely, I think it could be explored. But I, you know, obviously in my day to day, maybe I'm also a bit privileged, but I don't really hear people complaining too much about the price of electricity in Namibia. Yes, it's expensive. It has gone up significantly. But I think as the ECB has done now, I think their role is really to control the price like they have done and say, look, we're not increasing electricity by significant amount higher than inflation. Let's keep it there. So I think that is what they can do instead of, obviously, once a subsidy comes in, it becomes problematic because it becomes very, onerous on the state. Let me give you a quick, good example, of Nigeria. Obviously, the oil producer, and they used to keep oil very, very low. I think they used to be probably in Namibian dollars, probably about $3-4 per liter, while the rest of the world is at 12. Twelve used to be back in the day. Now probably obviously 22 since the increases. Few years ago.
Yeah.
Now, because of this, the government has been subsidizing it, right? And now the government then obviously was spending a lot of money on it. Now, I think last year they decided to reverse that. Mm. And obviously oil prices jumped significantly. Now, and it caused a lot of social unrest.
Yeah.
Because of that, expectation of the state will always take care of it. So I'm just trying to warn against perhaps entering it into that, because yesterday government might have the funds for it, but tomorrow you don't know what it might bring, and then you have this expectation from the populace would cause social unrest. So the best is perhaps just to control the price increases that is happening right now.
Yeah. So the other thing is we had a good rain maybe that have actually increased the input into the Orakana. So that's the way tariff now are decided. This is just your opinion. Does the way the tariff are actually decided, does that account to the cost of, let's say, adapting to the climate change? Because maybe next year could be a drought and that may actually reduce the output, you know, from Rakana as well.
Okay, I guess this is a disclaimer, as you pointed out, I'm no expert in determining the tariff, but just perhaps for my layman's opinion. Obviously we have a huge issue with drought. I mean, in fact, I was in Rakana in late December, just before New Year, and it was very dry. And then 2-3 months later, it's full, in fact, they have to open the floodgates and such, from the point of where they were not generating enough, they were not generating sufficient electricity to a point where they have too much water.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that is where we are at with climate change, and that could affect that particular, area of electricity production quite significantly.
Mm.
So, yes, I understand that. So perhaps the alternative is to add more sources of energy production and diversify away from Rakana. Obviously, keep it as quite an important, you know, source of electricity when it's at full capacity. But let's look into other source of electricity as well, and the diversifying. You know, we have a lot of sun, we have a lot of wind in this country. Again, we have gas, which is looking to be, which has been identified off the coast of Namibia. We're just looking to for an investor, you know, to build a power plant. So there are alternatives. We just need to seriously look into them.
Yeah, I think the other thing is also that South Africa is cutting back on electricity export. How can maybe now Namibia work with other Southern African countries to make sure that we have enough affordable power?
Yes, that is quite a risk. I think because of South Africa's electricity issue, they probably also decided it, you know, makes sense for them to export less.
Yeah.
And I do believe then we went into an agreement with Zambia, and then that they also, I think, also decided to cut a bit because they're also having the same issue as well of a lack of electricity security.
Mm.
So we could explore that, and I think we're also importing from Zimbabwe as well. And such, so, and I think Namibia is in a privileged position because of two things. Number one, I think we're in more or less a stable economic position. Therefore, we're able to pay electricity. Even if, you know, you find that we're paying a huge premium for electricity we're importing. That is why the South Africans and our neighbors are willing to sell to us, because we're willing to buy at the high price, because we're, I guess, used to the high price of electricity in the country as compared to them.
Yeah.
And secondarily, of our small population. I mean, if you think about Namibia, it's probably a lower population than Johannesburg. The whole of the country. And remember, then how many Namibians actually have access to electricity, which is perhaps another issue to be discussed for another day in terms of increasing the number of people who have access to electricity. But probably only, 60% of the people have access. So at the end of the day, you're looking at probably, you know, let's say 1.5 to 2 million people who you have to cater for. So therefore, it becomes easy, you know, to sell a bit of electricity to us from our neighbors. But yes, it's a security risk, in terms of energy, independence.
Yeah.
So we definitely look into, as I said, as discussed before, the alternatives, for local production will be increased.
Yeah. Do you think maybe the higher energy costs, can also affect Namibia's ability, to compete in export? Especially when it comes now to mining and manufacturing, how should the country actually manage this to stay competitive globally?
Yeah, definitely. So I think that is actually one of the reasons. I think mining is won't really be effective, given that you know, we have the resources and the mines don't have a choice but to come here.
Yeah.
But manufacturing definitely is. I think this is one of the areas that Namibia is not very competitive with, is the price of electricity. Mm-hmm. As compared to other countries. So it's probably, you know, when if I'm an investor and I have to now say, okay, let me set up in South Africa, or let's say Botswana, wherever else, as compared to Namibia. And obviously, I do not know about Botswana's energy prices, but as an example, they are cheaper. They will definitely go set up in Botswana instead of Namibia. And perhaps something we could definitely be looking into, but I think it's a greater discussion to be had. And I think first thing before we even look into this, issue of the price, let's also look into the issue of how best do we recover that those funds owed by particular private and government institutions to NAMPOWER so they're able to deliver on the mandate better, instead of trying to pass on that issue to the end consumer that is paying every day for electricity.
Yeah. Anything that you deem to be important to share with our listeners that maybe I haven't touched or haven't asked you? That you would like to share?
Yeah, perhaps just to say, I truly believe Namibia has the potential to become a net exporter of electricity if the right policies are put in place. I think Namibia, as much as we have our issues, they're not that existential, they're not that great.
Yeah.
They can be easily overcome. And now the next frontier is to say, how do we position ourselves as a regional energy hub? You know, instead of us importing electricity from South Africa and our neighbors, with some risk, measured risk taking, in partnering with international investors, we are able to turn Namibia into that energy hub. And I think definitely something perhaps our policymakers can really think hard on, in terms of how to position Namibia that way. We'll not only increase, our energy dependence, but definitely also improve our economic outlook in the future.
All right. Shasa, thank you for coming through this morning and help us really understand this, this 3.8% tariff hike, for NamPower, and how does that actually, affect, our long-term sustainability of Namibia's energy infrastructure and the economy at large. Thank you. It was great having you on the show this morning.
No, thank you for having me, Mike. All right. Okay, bye-bye then.
Thank you.
All right. That was Chisaya Hanoshike helping us really exploring this pressing issue of electricity hike. So when you come back, I will open up the line, and if you like to react to that or have your own contribution to the topic, you're most welcome to do so. So stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsie Nehangano, Deo Sherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing Voor Diere, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning. If you're just joining us and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day, and today we're looking at the economic ripple effects of NamPower's new tariff. That's what we're looking at. So the ECB has approved a 3.8 tariff hike or tariff increase for NamPower for the 2025-2026 financial year. So, yeah. And this is not what he was. This is not what NamPower was. And this is actually, and it's far lower than what the utility was asking about 17.44% originally requesting that increase. All right, what is your? I spoke to Josiah Hanoshike just to give us a little bit down an understanding from economic point of view and the impact and the effect that would have on your pocket and my pocket as well. So Yeah, so, but there's also, but there's also, I think, what the with minister, I think he said, the government is also actually going to pay 283 million for NAMPOWER's tariff increase. You know, the government has announced that it will inject 283 million into NAMPOWER's tariff increase for the 2025-2026 financial year. So our utility applied a hefty, you know, really, can you just imagine, 17.44% hike in its bulk tariff to cover the cost of buying power, of system upkeep, staff salaries and all that, maybe infrastructure upgrading. So, and after detailed review, the Electricity Control Board approved a small percentage, 3.8% increase, raising the tariff now from about it was $1.98 per kilowatt to it just, you know, raising now the tariff from that $1.98 per kilowatt to roughly $2.06 per kilowatt. So, and this would be effective July the 1st, 2025. So it will be effective. And that goes through June 30th, 2026. We'll come back.
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
Yeah, so welcome back. And if you're just joining us, you joined the Unpacking the Day, and we're talking about the increase of electricity, 3.8 increase in tariff. So yeah, and now I was just saying that the that increase have raised the tariff from about $1.98 per kilowatt to roughly $2.60 per kilowatt. That's gonna still make a difference. I can tell you, it will still, you know, make much of a difference. And that's effective July the 1st, 2025. It's effective from July the 1st, 2025 through June, 30th, 2026. Now, this was now just to soften, kind of like to soften the blow, the government will cover, that full 3.8. They will cover that uplift with a subsidy of 283 million. So consumers won't see their bill actually jump all at once. So the government will cover that. So now, on one hand, this subsidy from the government keeps our household, keep you and I and the smaller business and business at large. So a business and your household electricity cost, it keeps your cost stable. So, and this is vital when many families are already feeling the pinch of rising living expenses. And yet, I think you also have to think it on the other side. You also have to think it's on the other side. On the other hand, NAMPOWER needs sufficient revenue to maintain a reliable power grid, maybe invest in the new infrastructure, and also, well, avoid that we don't get a blackout in the future. So it is important for NAMPOWER to do that. So, yeah, this this balancing act between keeping prices low today and ensuring system health is health for tomorrow, I think it's at the heart of the regulator decision worldwide. This is what normally, you know, institution like ECB do to make sure that there is that balance. So, yeah. Well, you are most welcome to come through. Our telephone number again is 0833-66091. If you would like to contribute to the interview that I have, or your own contribution to the whole issue of electricity or energy power in Namibia. So our telephone number is in Dangwe Studio, 0833-66091. 0833-66091. So now, remember this 283 million is not NAMPOWER's own money. It is taxpayers. It's our money. So it is our money. That the government, it's taxpayers' money. Last year, the government allocated even more, about 365 million. It's allocated about 365 million for the same purpose last year, for the very same purpose. So, as a public, the debt pressure grow and, competing needs, like, so this is also, as I said, this is also increases the debt pressure. And remember also that, you know, there are other competing needs, like healthcare, educations, also demand funding. I think, we have to understand that there's also other needs that actually need funding. So we can't just keep, as Hanashike said, you know, these are institutions that they should be able to, you know, either partner up with other private sectors, or that, be able to create revenue by themselves so that we don't take some funds, other funds from other that actually need to address other needs. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Michael. How are you?
I'm fine, man. And yourself?
I'm okay, Michael.
Yeah.
Today we're talking about the energy.
Yes. I had Anhanoshike, Mr. Jisha here, giving us the impact of that on household and also on businesses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My friend. You don't know, when it comes to energy,
yeah.
I think as a country we've done very, very badly to invest in. Because I'm telling you, we are going around to other countries to acquire electricity.
Mm.
And it's costing us a lot of money, especially when you're talking about Eskom. We are paying more than, because remember, even South Africa dealing with this, what said something and like a breakout.
Yeah, yeah. Load shedding.
And now you look at Namibia where we have a lot of sunlight. We have winds which are blowing in the desert.
Yeah.
And they're just wondering, what is the aim as to have NAMPOWER? Is NAMPOWER not supposed also to invest in our energy infrastructure where they're able to channel the electricity to consumer and they be able to make money? And I don't understand the situation, maybe like in Windhoek, where you find people, you can see that the people are doing what? Illegal, where they are putting up powers to their capacities.
Yeah.
But the municipality always come to disconnecting them, their electricity, and then they are not even able to supply them.
Yeah.
And when you are looking at the energy, I don't know why we cannot move to another source of energy like a biogas, you name it. Even Goriakab, my friend, is able to channel the whole Katutura alone with biogas. But I don't know why. You can tell us that you don't have expert, what.
That's a good. The thing is this, ne? We have all, this is what we're saying. We have all this abundant natural, what is that? Energy resources. Okay.
Yeah.
Solar and wind and all that. So, but there doesn't seem to be anyone who is more more interested in investing, saying this is an opportunity. So even if it's there, if we're saying it and everybody's saying it and there's, we could be, energy hump and be able to export energy and all that to other, but nobody seems to be really see that as this is really an opportunity and let's invest into it. I don't know. There seem to be, there is that hesitant. There isn't really, maybe there is not enough study, or I don't know.
Sometimes I don't require so much study. That's why I'm always come to the term that, without finance backup, we are not going anywhere. Because some of us, we have a solution.
Yeah.
And we don't have money. We don't have anything to spend on to stand up for ourselves. Because sometimes when you put up even energy like solar energy, like just imagine, like you put up a plantation in near Chicago. Do you think I cannot change it to Angola? That energy?
Yeah.
We cover the whole the northern side. Do you think not able to sell to Angola and even Zambia, JLC, extended to that area. But seriously, I'm telling you, I don't know why, who are we waiting for to come and do it for us? Because the problem which we have here is a resource which we don't have in this country. That's what I'm saying. We try with SME bank, and some people, they make it to fail it, to look that we black, we cannot handle the finance. And why we cannot do it again? We keep trying. We know the people who are involved, it was not us. Somebody did it on purpose. Can we try it again with this SME? Because it's the only way out. Where you can talk about what you are going to provide the job and what. In which way? If you don't have a backup to back up the people who are trying to recruit other from the street.
Yeah. What I'm looking at this also, ne? I think sometimes we get also, even as an individuals, we get into the rhetoric of things. But when you look at even, do you use solar in your house?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
From even here in my Kabasho in Goriakab, to the north.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that this this seemed to be something even on a micro level, you know, on a micro level, we should be able now to have actually almost any house have a solar, use the solar panels actually to generate, you know, energy for the house. But why is not something that is actually, you know, how would I say it, prominent or popular or being done to electrify even rural areas?
You know, Mike, it's not been promoted. And the most of us, we find it so useful. We are the one, I'm telling you, that we don't have much resources to promote this energy source, which is capable to do anything.
Yeah.
That's why people, because look here, Mike, we not support to have a kabash which are burning every day. Kids are even burning the kabash because people are buying candle up to now.
Yeah.
But if we have even like a way you can buy in a small amount of solar, which is just having some bulb, which you can even maybe costing you only like 100 even. Or because for me to have those solar energy which I have now, where you can even watch a TV, it will require a lot of money because the battery are expensive.
Yeah.
But seriously, if we can just come up with a good investment where you are selling for a small portion, as long as a person is able to watch his kid to study.
Yeah.
With the solar energy.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. It seems to be, at this point in time, it seems to be more expensive investing in the solar and wind and energy as compared to electricity. You know,
yeah.
So, I think there is something. I mean, you know, why.
Yeah, but you know, Michael, in the long run, electricity is more expensive. Because just
In the long run, it's more expensive.
Comparing to solar energy,
yeah. So, but...
I think the thing is that when it comes to even a minute of energy, they are not really doing anything to promote when it comes to solar energy. People to invest, people who are having money to start investing in that. Because this is the future.
Exactly.
But serious, Mike, I don't understand you where we are heading and going, my friend. Because it's too much complicating everything. You can see the other country are doing. Namibia is like we are backward, everything, what we do. Because, look, we can talk about green energy and whatever, but we don't see the progress. With that, because everything we do, look, NAMPO is getting bent, borrow money over and over, but mostly we don't see them doing anything like regarding to the what the what the report people are saying. No, we have to go to green.
Yeah,
but we are doing mostly. We are taking to what hydro. We are doing everything which used to be done in the past.
Yeah,
we are not really doing the what the people, I mean the world, moving toward the green energy, and we are the forefront. We are fighting. We are like we are spreading off that, but at the end of the day, we are doing something else different.
My friend, we're talking about. I mean, we have been now talking about green hydrogen for quite a while now, but my unit when I buy are going down every year.
Every year, exactly.
And so and you keep telling me, every year the unit that I buy going down and down now.
And they are going promoting green hydrogen everywhere. There's a pamphlet of it. Mike, you said the boy are going to America.
The boys are going, my dear. You know,
my friend. Yeah, I'm going to watch this one. I'm telling you, on the sideline, I think, and I want the South African to put a stop. If they go, they must not come back. There's no return.
They have a right to return if they want to.
No, they don't need to return to, because I'm telling you, the way they've been treating African here, we as a black African, they think they will do it with a black African American.
Yeah. My friend, you know,
I'm waiting for that.
there are laws and international laws that you can just look at it and they have nothing to do. There's nothing you can do.
I'm telling you. Yeah. No.
So, or boko anakayo tatu nyoni kwa fuwe tu.
I was. Okay, Mike.
All right, man.
Shop.
Yeah. All right. Our telephone number, it's 083-66-091, 083-66-091. We talk about power, energy, electricity. You know, what is your take? So do come through and have your contribution. I was also saying that the utility, was also bailout, if you like, by the government as well. So the government allocated even more last year of 365 million, exactly for the same purpose. Yeah. So we need to also then start asking, you know, how long can the state keep subsidizing electricity? What happen if the subsidy budget gets squeezed? You know, Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Bon dia, familia.
Bon dia, como está?
Abo, obrigado.
Yeah, mwindu problem.
Não, estamos no dico, estamos no dico.
So, how is man?
I've been fighting.
All good.
Yeah. Copying what is there.
Yeah.
Open test. I just want to touch a bit, and you know, I was hoping what the Mem Kwanangombe did to the ministry. They're supposed to do the same thing to the municipality.
Yeah.
Because municipality, they are failing us. Most of this crime we have today in our country, because of people are growing up in the darkness, they don't have a future. Those elders who created those sheikhs, some of them, they are already dead. Some of them leave their kids on the same environment. So I'm thinking, when are we going to live in this way? So if maybe they cannot plan, or maybe they don't care, or maybe they are tired, they should move and put these youth who are coming from university.
Yeah.
You know, every time in the tech, you find the woman screaming morning time, being taken by force, or maybe stepped by those boys, you know. So it's like also the delay of developing those locations. You are creating more crime in the city.
Mm.
I was thinking like, no, you're supposed also to do the same thing with the municipality. Move all of them out and put some new faces, you know. Maybe you do well. Because if you just go there to ask the question, they just tell you, we are coming, wait. No, how many years now? Like, we have locations which are like, those who are first location, like Okuliangaba, Okuliangaba Sport and Shop, we have the Mpanengope's other side there, we have some site on Havana side, not those Havana, but those all locations, they are supposed to be developed now. Because if you use like a four-way stop, who comes first to get service space? But now not like that. Now you find the people who have been developing is that use this new location, like you go to your Mise 7 the land, look like they are getting like service every day. Yes, they 7 the land, electricity, 7 the land. People are given houses. What about the other location? People are suffering, having the same problem.
Yeah. So, but you know, today we're talking about the. I understand, Herman. I understand your concern and is legit. So we're talking about the 3.8 tariff rise that the electricity control board have approved.
Yeah.
So, and as we know, the electricity costs feed into the prices nearly of everything, of every good and of every services. So,
Anything that you probably have to add on that? I have someone that I had an interview with, looking at the economic implications of that increase. So
the electricity, water, and etc. Those are basic needs.
Yeah.
You cannot live without drinking water. Why those fish should be so expensive? Why? Because is this kind of privatizing sometimes also is the problem. Because this guy, he just coming to the system for him to make money. He don't care about how people are living out on the environment.
Mm.
You know, so this sometimes we need to look at those kind of privatizing the electricity, the water. Because if this guy kept coming, he just want to make money. He doesn't care about if you know. Now, how many people are affording to pay for the water goes so high, even the, by the electricity, that matter. It's very, it's so expensive. Look, you know the water which the location are using now, public water. If you put maybe $20, almost like, probably almost 3 or 2 weeks there. But now, I think they also elevated a bit. So why? These are the things we need to look at.
Yeah.
Electricity and water should be a basic need, not something which are like you want to be a billionaire by one day, because you're going to live for long and you will die and the youth will come and take over, you know?
Hmm.
Yes. See, it's just, yes, this kind of the prices which are we are getting now, it is kind of stressing us to say who's there? What is guy wanting from this system? Is this guy is coming to save the country, or is coming just to make his name to benefit for him and his permit, like to national or political No. We should all benefit in this system. Why some are getting a green light, some are getting red light, even today, man. To know of these people who are. Really, I keep fitness when I go to location.
Mm-hmm.
I find the elder who sometimes I ask them, how long have you been here? They'll tell you, I'm here for 20 years, I'm here for 25 years. All of these years, they're just living in the dark, no toilet, no electricity. What are people doing? That's why I was saying.
So and the other thing is that when people will never be able to, you know, create, be innovative and create their own businesses or something like that, because if electricity is too it's too really costly and water is costly, how do we have already small businesses that are actually struggling because of this, you know? Rent and costs and waters, where whatever business you do, it's the cost of those things are quite higher, and it doesn't allow small businesses, even big companies, of course, you know, they can survive this, but but then you're not actually help the small businesses, the SME, actually to grow because of this higher cost of energy.
That make me. If you heard the story, one day the councillor that went to stop the municipality who are removing the illegal electricity. Now I ask myself, who's to blame here? Is it, you know, you want to me to live in the shack without electricity? You know, because people are using like illegal electricity. They are paying even 1,000, some 1,500. You know, 1,500 per month. Some are paying even 1,000 per month. And this guy, his salary is 2,000. So this guy now gets electricity for him to make money. I'm going to come up with a business. So municipality is coming up to say, we'll cut off this illegal. It's okay. It's fine. But I think myself, who's to blame here? Municipality, they're supposed to have even fine. They're supposed even to pay what they're abusing us, you know? Now, there's people on location who are coming up with a welding machine and whatnot. So they need electricity.
Yeah.
So if you don't come, it's time for you coming to come to cut the electricity. You come to the location and ask, okay, let us come with the system to support these people, for them to, because our economy, who holds our economy? It's those people who are in the street. who are coming, be serious. Those who are coming, those new entrepreneurs, you know, they don't even bother the government to say, give me a job, because they are already creating their own job. So they all need access on electricity.
Yeah.
But a municipality to stress you, they come there and tell you, I'll cut off, I'll give you a sign. Then you think about who should have a sign here. You want me to wake up at 5 o'clock morning time to go outside to start with this firewood or potemong or candiloponje.
Yeah.
You put coffee, you put what for my daughter to go to school. That's what you want for me to live in that manner? No, things are, should be changed, my brother. This country is beautiful. Should be changed.
Yeah.
And we have enough money. This is a place, my brother. No. We just need leaders.
Yeah. All right, Ben.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you for coming through this morning.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. The other thing is this. And you can come through. Telephone number is 08333 66091. Now, so the government bailout, normally they, you know, the, of course, they subsidize this institutions. And, at the same time, government institutions, you know, ministries and, agencies and, the OMA. So now, They are the one that actually have debt to NAMPOWER. So how does that work? You know, you're subsidizing the, you know, but your OMAs also have debt to, you know, to the institution that actually, you're giving it to pay the institution that actually have failed to, you know, to pay the electricity and waters and all this. So, it's energy that we're talking about, energy security. In our country, we'll come back.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. Auto Cash, it's that simple.
Very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, our time is about 8:45. Unpacking the day goes up to 9:30. So you still have a time actually to come through and contribute to our discussion this morning. So yeah, as we know, electricity is the lifeblood of industries and commerce. So higher power prices can weigh on mining operations and manufacturing, as Mr. Josiah actually said, you know, and potentially slowing our GDP growth. So now the IMF forecast Namibia's economy to grow around 4.0% in 2025. Egan FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, how are you,
Mike? I'm fine, and yourself, man?
I'm good, Mike. Yeah,
Mike.
You know, we should sometimes learn how to accept The only way we are going to improve is when we accept that we have failed somehow. You see, Mpango has failed us.
I didn't get you. I can't hear properly.
I'm saying power. I've said that. I'm saying we should learn how to accept. Sometimes we should start to accept failure.
Yeah.
Non-power have failed us. It have failed for the past 5 years. They have never done nothing apart from. Okay, not nothing. Let me refer my statement. They have done something in terms of building the grid, that they have done well.
Yeah.
That one, we can give them something at least, even 90% somehow, at least, or 80%.
Mm.
80 to 90%, that's when they deserve. They have built the grid. Where they have never done what they were supposed to do is now, the generation.
Yeah.
They never did much on generation power. That Ruakana Hydro, it was left by who? By the, it was done long time. Is it?
Yeah.
I think there were two turbines which were running before. I think currently it's on the fourth. I think it's four turbines now. Yes. Yes, at the hydro. Because I think they added two turbines later. I think the first one it was three or two. And then later they added, I think in 2000. In the 2000s, that's when they have added the other turbines. I think from 2005, somewhere they're coming up to this period. Yeah, the other two turbines, because the other two turbines were not there, but I think they have already added it there. I recall last time when I was there. Now, on the solar, the sun is for free. God have given it to us.
Yeah.
Yes. If they have been building bit by bit, you know, you cannot eat an elephant whole feet. You put it in your mouth, you will never chew it.
Yeah.
You get my. It's like, you know, they would have been doing it bit by bit, or even per region, they would have said, okay, in the Zambezi region, we are going to build a small plant of maybe 11 or 200 megawatts.
Yeah.
And then we come, let's say, the next 5 years, we build the next 5 years. So if we divide, 35 years divided by 5 is how much? 7, yeah?
Yeah, where did we miss this opportunity? Like what you're saying, where did we miss that?
Where did we miss it?
Mm.
We designed our model on increase.
Yeah.
Yes. Same way the way capitalists did the thing. Capitalists designed their wealthy on the population, African population. Now after independence, they said no. When the people came into power, the majority would be the Africans or the black people, let's say, for example. The way we classify ourselves as blacks, we have been classified as blacks.
Yeah, we're blacks, yeah.
Yes. They designed their model that there will be always somebody working somewhere. So they created what you call private medical aid, insurance, what. So they knew that these people will be paying every now and then.
Mm.
And they realize that look what the designers, it will be a continuous thing.
But then when we find out, now with the black, when we find out that this is what they have designed, you know, to serve their purpose, whatever that is, shouldn't we then decide, okay, let's then design it to suit us, to benefit us?
No, remember, the Constitution stops certain things. Because when they were negotiating, they put it in the Constitution. But that's the other point I want to make is, so when NAMPOWER also designed their model on increase, thinking, if we increase every year 10%, we don't need to do anything. Because the 10% increase will cover our running costs and the salaries. Is it? Now, it's catching up with them. Because the increase, at one point, you are going to reach the ceiling.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not. At one point, I always use this word. Whether you like it or not, even those who increase, they'll sit one day in the same room and say, how much are we going to increase? You see, the first one will say, no, me, I'm out. The next one, I'm out. Then you say, no, they did not reach the consensus. No, it's not that they did not reach the consensus. Everybody saw that it's not possible.
Yeah.
Yes. And this is where we are going. So we miss the opportunity of every year developing, but we decided the mode of, if I increase 10% or 20%, I'll cover all my costs. You get my point?
Yeah.
It's like I've generated revenue. So even businesses, even companies, even professionals, that's why they are failing. Their model of operation, or their strategic, it's based on increase. So the moment you start cutting out the increase, even sit of window, if you start cutting out increase, you realize that they will start pulling apart.
Yeah.
Why? Yes. Because Sito Vinduk never expanded more dams. When there is a flood, okay, when there is no flood, they tell us use water wise. When, like this year, they started opening the dams. The dam is going to collapse. Then you let the water to escape.
Being wasted, yeah.
Exactly. If you had an extra dam, two or three,
yeah, you open this, the water flows into the other one.
Yes. Then this one becomes full, that one becomes full. So by the time you know you have got 5-10 dams which are full to capacity, you know you take care, because you can get your water some consumption to be at least without rain. Yeah? I'll be able to go for 10 years without rain. So if that's your autonomy, then that means if any rain comes, you are on the safe side. If there is no rain, then you know, in the coming 4 or 5 years, if there is no rain, I'll still have got water. We never designed our system, our model of operation based on that. We design our zone. What is it that we want to see? No, revenue, what do they say? When they're projection, okay, in 2020, whatever we'll get now is 2 billion, blah, 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 blah. This 2 billion is not coming anywhere. It's coming from the people.
So what it means, really, what it means, what's actually hampering our, let's say, for example, our economic growth or development, is that we get into a system that is there in which we, even if you, like now, what you're saying is that you can see that why can't we do this? And it seemed to be logical and to be logical and something anyone who get in power should be able to do. But then they don't do it. So... Yeah. Is it the system, or is it the people when they go into the, they just join the system and they don't want to improve the policy and the system itself, or what is it? Because
also you are tangled into the system. Because you see what happens?
Yeah.
They will bribe you also to get you into the system. You know, when you want to change, they will start campaigning against you. Any person who wants to bring good, is tangible change.
But when you say they, who are they?
The system,
okay.
You know, the system remains the best changes. Because if the system was designed to work, the players who have changed, you can see how many CEOs, how many whatever we have changed. Okay? They have never changed the system, but the system keeps on feeding us. Maybe the guy comes with good ideas and intention, but he can't change it because it's designed like that. So that when you come, they'll tell you, okay, no, you're 10%. You know, that's why you have then you find that even when we are operating in the, that's why you see in the constitution, unless otherwise, on that at 100, unless otherwise lawfully owned.
Yeah.
How do you own something in the first place you claim it's state? And how can someone own something lawfully in the state?
Yeah.
You get what? So all these things were designed to do that. So those are the things that people now have stuff. Look what Boko Duma said. We just introduced the same way the current president said. If the law does not write in the favor of the national development, let's change that. So we have to change the thing that doesn't work. The moment we start changing, you see that you won't be liked.
Mm.
Yes, but it's not a problem not to be liked, because no one was born to be liked. We only like money, we don't like people. So if I'm a president and you don't like me, I don't have a problem. It's normal. Because the only thing you need to like is money.
Mm.
Yes. Because it gives you life. Because you go buy and you feed yourself.
Yeah.
So that's the challenge we are facing, we are into currently. Now power must change the model of operation. They should start investing. Whether they like it or not, at one point even ECB, it will fail to
invested for too long, and then, you know, your infrastructure are the old infrastructure. We are now in actually in a new modern, you know, technology. So now to upgrade that to that level would actually require massive investment.
But remember, what happens is we forgot that the population is increasing. And what was the purpose and the objective of National Planning Commission is to inform the people that, and the census, NSA, whatever, is to inform the business people that, look, the population is growing, so do something.
Hmm.
It's like you, when we start working, I'm alone, I get married, me and my wife, a one-bedroom house is big, it's not so.
Yeah.
Then we go to a two-bedroom, because we have got then we go to a three-bedroom. Then we should have to have, because kids are growing, and these ones who are at university want to have a little bit of independence. Then you should have this and that. You get my point?
Yeah.
So that's how. If they would have used the model of on a family level, is it how do you grow when you have got your family is growing? You don't have to have a family. Your family is growing, and you still have, keep one bedroom house.
Yeah.
No, you want. So, but them they do not do that. The same what they have been doing is buying. And so now power is a wholesaler, what do you say? It's a literal, They also buy. Yes. And they generate, but what they generate is less than what they buy. So we can call them at one point to like, it's the same thing, whatever Pick and Pay and Shop Right and whoever does. Maybe this city of Indo and Namwater, this is maybe Namwater, not city of Indo, sorry, Namwater. Maybe them they pray to God, so their business model must also be based on prayers. So in their business plan, they say we should have a space where they say a prayer session that God must give us rain. If the rain is not there, we are in trouble. We are finished. We are done. So that's the problem. Also, if you look at NAM Power or NAM Water, I'm not so sure. If you see that they never got an increment compared to government employees. We have never gotten an increment as a common day. Including Telecom, we never got an increment. Telecom never got some increment at some point or the other.
Yeah.
I think if they got, maybe in the past 10 years, Telecom maybe got increment not more than 4 times in the 10 years, past 10 years. You see?
Yeah.
Since Tadendroma was there, the increment, I think in Tadendroma, there was 3 times that the Telecom never got an increment. There was 0 increment. For 3 times, I think and the other CEOs who came, there was. But I'm not sure. Have you ever heard about something like that? Number one never got a salary increment.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure. But if they had, okay, we might say maybe they did it.
Yeah. But government, I think it's not something that came into public, I think, arena. Mm.
Yes. But the government, we know. The last time they got an increment, there was a point even teachers where they demonstrated it. Police officers don't get increments, everybody. But we are buying the same thing that is increasing on a daily basis. You get my way?
Yeah.
Yes. So now power might be feel comfortable. You see, that because whatever they say they are giving their people, they, so it looks like they are doing well, but they are not doing well.
Yeah.
And that's what they should now start doing, that start investing bit by bit. Whatever the government is going to subsidize, they should not spend that money. You don't eat the seed. You eat a little bit, but leave the seed to plant so that the other next year you can harvest something.
Hmm.
You can multiply. So they should stop eating the seed. Thanks very much.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through.
Yeah? All right.
All right. All right. Our time is 1 minute past the hour of 9. And so please do come through. As I said, our topic today is it's the tariff increase and how that actually affect your pocket and your business, you know, operations. So it may be a little a modest, you know, increase of 3.5 rather than of 17.44 that was actually being asked by NAMPower. So. But in any way, it definitely, you know, still actually affect, your pocket or your business operation. So, it still have actually effect
on economic growth and operations. So yeah, please do come through and have your share of contribution on this very important topic. So yeah, well, Nampawa also buy. We also buy electricity from neighboring countries when the Namibian dollar so weaken against. Even if we use the rand, if our money is pegged to the rand, I think when we buy, for example, electricity, we don't buy it in rand. We buy it actually in dollars. So when you import, it become more pricier, you know. So we don't buy because it's not South Africa, it's not Namibia, so you don't buy it in rand, you buy it in dollar.
Igor FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm good. Quickly, I don't have enough on my phone.
It's all right.
Mike, this is not just going to affect businesses and pockets, but this is going to increase criminal activities like illegal connections, and it might also as well
we lost him. He said he doesn't have enough. Yeah, but he was also making a very good point there. Please, if you can, recharge and come back. You know, you may have a point that we would love to hear. So, yeah, please do come and have your contribution. So this is a platform where you can share your ideas as well. And I can tell you, there are other people also listening. And yesterday we were talking about, and something I found it very interesting. I'm moving away a little bit from this, but I just find it, someone actually suggested we are talking about, we were focusing on a hospital yesterday where they, you know, where there are no medicines or there are no medical supplies, and they are referred to go and buy, to private, pharmacies. And one person said that, you know, which I felt that was actually a good. So when you go to private doctors, and you prescribe, you know, the bill actually is sent to that private doctor who actually, you know, see you, who have attended to you. So why can't the same thing apply? If a doctor in the hospital and the hospital doesn't have medications, why can't the, when they refer you now to go to a private pharmacy, why don't they bill the government? So because it was your responsibility to provide service to this person, and because you don't have it, you refer them to go there, so they should be able to bill you. Nobody now, this would be that people won't go without medicines. They can go to the pharmacy, but bill the government, you know. And that would be also, if they felt that it become too costly, maybe that would make them also think, okay, let's make sure that we have all the medical supplies that are needed so that we don't pay, this amount of money in the future. Because otherwise you're failing, your citizen. You're actually telling them go home and die, you know, and get sick. That's basically what you're saying. Yeah, no, that's just on the side, but come back to our topic today. So what the point I'm making is that, you know, there are, there are other lawmakers also listen to program like this, and you may actually pick up, they may actually pick up some points that you're making and be able to integrate that, into their debate and also into developing new policies that, might make a difference. So it is very important for you. This is your platform to talk, to air your views, to, you know, to share your thoughts, and contribute to discourse on a conversation on different topics. So, yeah. So I was saying that when we buy We don't buy Namibian dollar. Even we peg, our dollar is pegged to South African rand. So buying electricity is still expensive because we buy that. It's a different country. We buy it, in dollars. So, and the problem also, which also, Josiah have mentioned is that the global, the energy markets are very volatile. And the exchange rate swings can really feed directly into the tariff calculations as well. So, and these external factors underscore why NAMPOWER cost base is, or the cost base is not entirely within the local control. Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Mike.
Good morning, man. How are you?
Good, good. Yeah, I just called you because you mentioned that medicine, pharmacy referrals, normally they don't say go and buy.
They don't say go and buy. They just said we don't have.
Say we don't have in this hospital.
Yeah.
So maybe you can check into other clinic so that you can see if there is, or you can go to the pharmacy.
Yeah, so.
So sometimes, if you are, for example, this one for high blood pressure, you're finding some clinic, they don't have a lot of people there, but they have stock. So you can go to that one. It's only that people, they don't understand what when a person referring to some, but not direct to say go and buy into the pharmacy.
Yeah, no. That's not what they say normally. Yeah, so.
Yeah, no, it's come on that. Let us
but,
also.
But the other thing is that when you may be in areas where, let's say, for example, you are in Rundu. If the Rundu hospital cannot actually be able to provide you that, the only option is actually for you to go to the private pharmacy.
No. For that reason, yes.
Yeah.
As I'm paid when they stock, so they stock accordingly, not just to say let us stock in the 100 in this one. Let us, they stock 100, but in different areas, you're finding a lot of people having more high blood pressure than the other region. Mm. So that's why sometimes they asking also to others so that they can provide if they have.
Yeah.
It's just like yellow fevers and the others. You can see sometimes they asking better post of Gobabes and where there are no people that is going to Botswana or the one that, but in Angola, you finding them that in Oshikango, there is a lot of people that they go. So they run out of stock in the early. So that is how it is. But to stocking in the country, sometimes they stock enough. But not to find out that where, it's like now I saw the lot of Shiza tablets. They are everywhere in the country because they are replacing some of the painting.
It's all right. Today we're talking about,
No, yeah. I was just wanting to,
I get your point, which is fine.
I want also the people of the government not just to low because of us who are talking too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they need to understand that we are also understanding their system. Yeah, but for the electricity, Mike, you cannot make money if you are not the one who is producing that.
Yeah.
So that is where the problem of the electricity. NAMPOWER doesn't make even 50 or 40% of electricity that you are consuming in the country.
Yeah.
And you can see that there is a lot higher demand of electricity in this country. But so for them now to making money, it's just to increase in the tariff. But if you go to other countries that are producing electricity, like Mozambique, Zambia, so the electricity is still okay.
Yeah.
But because of the demand of other countries, that is how it comes. And the issue of, say, the independent supplier, for example, to allowing the solar panels to be on their own and they sell it directly to the customer, they might end up not making money. So that is all. I cannot comment in too much because this buy and sell is something different.
Mm.
You need a lot of time to explaining about it. Okay, Mike.
All right. No, thanks for coming through. Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Well, Tom, it's about 12 minutes past 9, and we still have about 18 minutes to go. So do come through and share your thoughts and your contributions to our discussion this morning.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudiha utekirwaka guna iimatina omjo. Chikawa shafaa sana nana longishifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongotisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitomwa yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma odaraje tatuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oandiyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, Eagle FM, wherever you are, Eagle FM is with you. That's right. So it's accessible anytime, anywhere. All you need is your phone, and you are instantly connected to our features, our news. You're connected to the news, to even to your favorite shows. And if you miss any of your favorite shows, you can always go back to the podcast of the broadcast that has been broadcasted. So and many more features. And also those young people who are looking for jobs, and you also find vacancies there. So make sure that you download the Eagle FM mobile app through the Google Play and also the App Store. So do that, and you are ready to go. So, and if you want to stay in the know-how, in the know with business and economic news and the latest policy development, so you can actually grab your digital copy of the Villager by subscribing. You need to subscribe, to to the villager. So what you need to do is just send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-200-4144, 081-200-4144, and you can definitely then grab your digital copy of The Villager every Monday, Wednesday. Today's one is also out already, and Friday. So every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, sent to you for free. And if you're a business person, so we're making it easier than ever to grow your business with us, or to grow your business. And our complimentary, so we have the app, the Imba apps, and also the Eagle FM mobile app. All these are perfect, you know, are perfect platform to boost your product and also services to wide range of consumers and customers. So, and please don't forget our social media platform. They are one of the most active in the country, and they give you the perfect space to elevate your brand, your company, your product. You know, it just elevates your brand and product visibility. So contact us at 083-288-400, 083-288-400. So, and if you're just joining us, thanks for joining us. And we have about 11 minutes before we come to the end of Unpacking the Day, but we're talking about the tariff increase and how that affect your pocket, your household, you know, budget, and also your businesses. So yeah, come through. Earlier on at the beginning, we have Mr. Jeshaya Hanoshike giving us the download, more how this can, really have the implication that it may have on our business, on the businesses, and on individuals, and probably the economic growth of the country in the future. So come through if you want to add on that, if you want to contribute on that, or if you want to just say what are your issues wherever you are, whether you are some part of the country where there is no electricity at all. So what are your issues? What do you want to say? What do you want to contribute? So this is a platform for you to do that. So yeah, you're welcome. And our telephone number is 08-333-66-09. 08-333-66-09. Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, man. How are you?
Very good. I just wanted to ask if there is any issues with the frequency, radio frequency in the Rongo region.
Yeah, they are kind of we are not on some of the frequency around the country, and if you really want to follow us, and you, if you can, if you have a smartphone and you can be able to download the Eagle FM app.
I have ever listening on the app, but I just came across yesterday that I think the FM is not working. But since I'm very far from the radio.
Yeah, no, it's something we know. Yeah. Mm.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Thanks. Mm. All right. Well, it's our time now. It's 21 minutes past the hour of 9, and you are most welcome to come through and have your contribution as well. So yeah, if we look at today's today's edition of the Villager, so we have some interesting, you know, stories for you to get into. So unemployed teachers demand the abolition of the job interview. So the Namibian unemployment, the unemployment qualified teacher committee has proposed the elimination of interviews for qualified teacher seeking employment. So what do they mean? I'm not going to go, that's for you now to go through the whole story. So what do they mean? So just call up somebody, you just get a list of the CVs, and then you said, okay, we choose this one based just on the paper. So, all right. So get through the story, go through the story, and maybe find out why do they say, they propose, why are they proposing, the elimination of interviews for qualified teachers. So, yeah. And, the leading story in the, on the, in the Villager is the PEP to acquire 24 Big Daddy clothing store in Namibia. So that's, the leading story on the front page of the Villager. So that's another story that you can look forward to. And you can only do that if you subscribe. And you probably have received your copy already. Yeah. So, and if you haven't done that, do that just right away. You're definitely missing out. My internet is so, I don't know. This internet is so slow or something like that. I'm trying to open other pages and it's taking about centuries to open. All right. Our time is about 24 minutes past the hour of 4. And I was just about to give you some of the stories that you can find in the Villages edition of today. Another story that maybe you are more interested in is the five schools in Rundu planned about 175 seedling in remembrance of Nuyoma. So that's quite a lot. All right. And Tobias Hainyeko constituency youth trained in business development. That's also another story there. Maybe that you can you're interested to go through. On a sports side, the Baby Gladiators get maiden Kosafa victory. So the Namibian girls under 17 team, the Baby Gladiators, got their first victory in the under 17, Kosafa championship after beating Inslader, Comoros, 10-0 yesterday at the Hage Geingob Stadium. Jesus. Almost everyone else. Only the goalkeeper that didn't get, a goal. Almost everybody got a goal, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, that's quite a lot. That's 10-0. That's a thumping. They have really thumped the Islanders, Comoros. So it must have been really exciting to see. I always enjoy, women football because it's fun. it's one of the football that I really enjoy. Yeah. So, but Comoros here, we thumped them 10-0. That's quite a lot. 10-0. Definitely that's quite, a thumping. That they will never, every time now they have to say, you're going to Namibia, we're going to play in Namibia, they actually have to think twice. Yeah. So, yeah, there's also an opinion piece about why, business turnaround matters for Namibia's economy. Yeah, go through that. So as I said, subscribe and then you can receive your digital copy for free. Receive that for, for absolutely free. So those are some of the stories that you can find in today's edition of the Villages. Get yourself a copy, and you can only do that when you subscribe. What you need to do is just send a WhatsApp message with your email and with your name and with your number and email, and to 081-241-44, 081-241-44. So, and then every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you receive your copy of The Villager. All right, our time is about 2 minutes left. If you are one of those people who can speak very quickly and you want to make a point as quick as possible, you're most welcome to come through as well. I can steal 1 or 2 minutes from Helmut. Even if he just, roast me on his show, I wouldn't mind. So I can steal, 1 or 2, minutes from him. If you really want to, maybe you have something that is really burning that you want to say, come through. I can still put you through. And as I said, steal some minutes from Helmut's show. I don't think he'd mind at all. All right. So yeah, when we come back, we say our goodbyes. And for now, stay tuned.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo, Chicago Safa, Nana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuita Moshiwana, E. Moyao, or Tango Tisamwini, Ana Gishifa, Yanami Bia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangeka, Zaitanina, Omeguro, Niranitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupitramo, Eagle FM Media House, Way 23 Meha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yo mo programa detu. Moambo, lengira selma, kodara hita tuimu. Datu, heari jamano tano, o andiaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right. And that actually brings us to the end of our Unpacking the Day today. So let me thank all those who have participate on the show. And as we always said, when we bring you all this, interview or discussions, it's to allow you also to air your opinion and your thoughts on the topic. And for those who have participated this morning, so thank you for coming through and for doing that as well. So let's do that again tomorrow. On the same frequency, on the same station, Eagle FM. And I wish you a pleasant day ahead. And please continue to listen to other shows that are coming up throughout the rest of the day. For me, Michael Chevalier, cheerio.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba App are The Elsie Nehangano, Deo Sherero o Maimburiro, The Catholics Simaneka Karunga, The Africans Sung for Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-2358-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.